Welcome to episode 129 of the Golf Talk Podcast. We're going to do this one live. I'm Eric Barzeski. Alan Olson is
home
here as well. Home. Where the heart is.
Or something.
Yeah. A couple of longstanding articles here. We're going to kind of go back a month or so and work our way forward to the current day. I think we may be skipping Phil Mickelson's win in China. Yeah, it's not on the list, but Phil Mickelson won in China, beat Tiger Woods, who played the crap on Saturday and Sunday. So,
that's a good one.
If you're a Phil fan, sorry, it wasn't a slight. We were just being particularly lazy that week, I guess.
he played well.
He won. Yeah, he did. He putted really well, and he played really well. So,
hopefully the momentum carries to 2010.
And people, yeah, have jumped way too far onto the bandwagon and are predicting great things for Tiger versus Phil in 2010 when, you know.
It's November.
And it's never happened in the past, so. Why should it happen when Phil is, like, 46? The first article here, though, is a new PGA Tour policy possibly giving players indigestion in the title. Basically, they're saying that the people who aren't in the Pro-Am will have to spend some time hanging out. We're talking about like an hour or so with the people that pay them. And the anonymous tour pro who wrote this article thinks that stinks.
Yeah, talk about biting the hand that feeds you. I guess it's kind of hard to complain about a person who, you know, 125th on the money list is 850,000 or something like that. So it's,
yeah, such a tough life.
Yeah, you know, it's a tough life. And then, oh, you get a free meal and schmooze and probably top shelf, you know, all the top shelf booze you can drink. And, oh, you know,
suck it up, dude.
Yeah.
Or, you know what? If the pro-ams are honestly that much better, play well enough that you're one of the top guys so you get into the pro-am.
I think that's kind of the heart of the issue is this anonymous tour pro is complaining that it's the lower tier guys that have to play. Well, it's a lot of the lower tier guys who are just happy to play good enough to get their top 25 and make their million, and that's it. So play better, win a tournament, and then you can go play a pro-am.
That's right. Second news, Tiger Woods was named the PGA of America Player of the Year. This is not it's the PGA award. It's not necessarily the one that's given out by the PGA Tour, although he'll win that one as well. This is kind of the one people cite when they talk about Player of the Year. No surprise.
Yeah, not a shock for a guy who won six times on tour.
Coming off knee surgery. There's still a chance, I think. You know, we don't know who won Comeback Player of the Year. Tiger could potentially win Comeback Player of the Year as well. So
yeah, I don't think they're going to give it to Steve Stricker again.
No. The Milwaukee PGA Tour stop is it's gone.
It's kaput. My state is not represented. Thank goodness we have Herb Cole that has like 92 events coming up in the next decade.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, it's too bad. It's been around since 1968. It's Tiger's first professional debut, but...
when he lost two, right? Didn't he lose to Ed Fiore?
Yeah, I think you're right. Something like that.
What was the grip? Ed Fiore.
So...
yeah.
But anyway... bye-bye. Yeah, toodles. It was nice knowing you. Yeah. Bad scheduling and... hopefully not the sign of things to come for other tour stops.
But didn't have the greatest slot in the schedule either. So
no.
Maybe the LPGA could go play there.
That would be fun. I think there would be a lot of support for that. And that course is probably a little bit more suited for the LPGA.
Yeah. Parker McLaughlin gets busted for using Twitter during a PGA Tour event. We're speaking of LPGA, PGA confluences here. This was originally something that... Carolyn Bivens had kind of, you know, she claims it was an offhand joke kind of suggestion, but she was serious when she said it. We all know that. Parker McLaughlin was waiting on the tee. He faced back up. He whipped out his cell phone and wrote, "Just made birdie on four, waiting on fifth tee. First tweet during a tourney round. Don't want to get used to this." He's not going to be able to get used to it because he was warned that it would violate PGA Tour policy. and possibly the rules of golf. So, yeah. Hey, but Parker McLaughlin succeeded in getting his name in the news.
Exactly, and he probably got a few more Twitter followers now.
Right. I don't know if I'm one of them, but...
I'm not either, but, you know, good for him, and, yeah. I guess...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone was busted for drugs on the PGA Tour, and, yeah, you wouldn't guess it. Doug Barron.
Doug who?
Most famous for playing without a shirt at some point in last year or the year before. And who made... He made only 5 cuts and 17 starts on the Nationwide Tour to earn $33,000. He played only 4 times on the Nationwide Tour this year. Didn't miss anything, or didn't make a cut. Won $0. Yeah. He later then sued the PGA Tour, despite saying, basically admitting to everything in a press release. He later decided to file a lawsuit against the PGA Tour, alleging that his doctors were trying to wean him off of the drug. He was on beta blockers and...
testosterone.
And testosterone, yeah. So he was on beta blockers and testosterone. His doctors were supposedly trying to wean him off. He supposedly had applied for a temporary use exemption, like Chad Campbell, and wasn't able to get one. So... Or not Chad Campbell, was it? Or was it?
Was it? I think it was him or Sean McKeel.
Sean McKeel. Yeah. They kind of look the same, don't they?
They do.
I pictured the guy in my head, and it was... But anyway. Couldn't get the TUE like Sean McKeel. And so apparently decided to keep using drugs anyway. So, I don't know. I kind of side with the PGA Tour on this, but at the same time, we don't know all the facts of the matter. Why was he denied the TUE? You know, had he provided enough proof? Was there a problem there? We don't know.
He had a doctor's note.
Yeah, he had a doctor's note. That works for first graders, right?
It works for first graders and PGA Tour journeymen. I mean, it's...
And Barry Bonds, and right? Didn't it work for him? He had a doctor's note.
He had a doctor's note, too, for the cream and the clear. But, you know, this... Yeah. For him to be the first guy suspended is kind of a joke. I mean, it's not like the tour didn't know.
It shows people that are serious without, you know, kicking someone with a name off the tour, though.
I mean, it's just bizarre. I mean, it's not like the tour didn't know that he was taking this stuff. And then he's the guy that gets suspended. I mean, I'm not a conspiracy theory guy at all, but that just seems kind of odd that, hey, let's test Doug Barron, because he gave us a note saying that.
Well, that gave him a long time. You know, if he told them before the beginning of the year, he certainly had a long time to change his behavior, too.
That's true. So, it didn't matter. It's not like it's really helped him that much anyway.
Now, we'll see how it turns out, but he's applying for an exemption, at least, to be allowed to play in the second stage of Q School. Until such time as, you know, the full trial thing is decided. So, whatever. Maybe they could let him do that, and he still might lose.
Yeah.
We'll see.
It's a stimulus package for the lawyers.
Yeah. The Turning Stone Resort got a summer date, but it's the opposite the Bridgestone event now. I think this is a temporary thing, though. I think they're gonna do this for 1 year and then probably move into one of the many slots that's opened up.
Yeah, definitely. Because after 2010, there's pretty much all the car sponsors are gone and the banks are gone, and so yeah, this will probably end up getting a better spot, which is fine. It's I think it gives some of the fall event series something to look forward to, that maybe their event gets moved up to the prime time, if you will.
Yeah, pretty soon we may not have a fall series.
That would be okay.
It would be okay, too. I mean, it kind of stinks for the people not making the top 125. They have a much shorter season then, because they not only get the, you know, the playoff stuff, unless they're inside of that number, but they don't get the events afterwards, too. So, but you know what? I'm fine with it.
Yeah. Golf doesn't need to go into November.
Now, the PGA Tour schedule came out for 2010. It goes through September 20th. Through the 26th, it ends at the Tour Championship. I don't know why they don't have the Fall Series stuff listed. Maybe they're currently there are no Fall Series.
It could be because they're all moved up to the regular to the big time.
Yeah, no big changes stick out. The one I wanted to mention was that, well, two, Morgan Stanley put their name back on the Memorial Tournament in Columbus, Ohio. They kind of took their name off of it this year, and the Reno Tahoe Open, which is now called, it's called the Legends Reno Tahoe Open, which is played opposite the British Open, or the Open Championship, and the same week as that big celebrity event in the Reno area, which I forget the name of, celebrity something or other.
Nice.
You know, the one where Ben Roethlisberger met that crazy lady who sued him.
Oh, yeah, that one.
Yeah, that one, that event. Mm. The one where, you know, we get our yearly dose of Charles Barkley hitting people in the head.
Oh, goody.
That event.
Yeah.
So, now there's a PGA Tour event, albeit an opposite field one, and celebrities in the same place. So, you got a bunch of sucky golfers and some pseudo-celebrities all mixing and playing golf. It'll be great.
Awesome. Let's head to Reno.
No change in 2010 for the FedEx Cup point system. You know, I'm fine with that. I think it worked pretty well this year. And the PGA Tour's version of that is Tiger and Phil played all the events.
That is probably the best way to put it. They were there for all four. And I mean, could there be little tweaks that could be made? Possibly. I don't know. I thought it was pretty entertaining. You know, it certainly got down to where, you know, at the Tour Championship, you know, you had four or five guys that could have won it, so I think that's fine.
Yeah. Five guys could have won it with a win outright, and technically everyone in the field was eligible, or could have won it, but, you know, they would have had to, like, fall in line perfectly and stuff, so that's fine. David Duval, one of the main people, one of the biggest names to fail to retain his tour card this year. As a former champion, he'll probably only get to play about 16 to 18 events next year. Oh, pity.
Yeah, he doesn't really seem to care.
He's going to Q school to, you know, improve his status. But even if he doesn't, you know, pass Q school, which he probably will, or he has at least a very good chance to do, like I said, he'll still get into 16, 15, 18 events next year, sponsors exemptions, and again, his status as a former champion. So
yeah, he'll get to play enough. He gets to play the first three majors of the year. So
that too, because of his second place finish and his win back in what?
2001.
99, 2001. Yeah.
So
that's right. 99 was when he started winning. That's right. So there you go. I'm not sure which one we want to talk about first. Flip a coin, huh? Heads or tails? Tiger, Michelle, which one? You pick.
Oh, let's go with Michelle. We can end with Tiger.
She wins.
Yay.
With a V. Yeah, and her parents were nowhere to be seen until afterwards. But fortunately, we didn't have to see them all day. I watched this event. It was nice to watch. You know, she beat a big... This wasn't the State Farm Classic, we'll put it that way, that she probably would have won a couple of years ago if she had signed her scorecard. You know, I mean, she was leading by like six or something in that event, so probably would have won easily there. But she went into the day tied for the lead, wins by two over Paula Creamer. Again, Lorena Ochoa, Suzanne Pedersen, Christy Kerr, Jia Shin, a lot of big name players in the field. Lorena Ochoa's own event. It could be a breakthrough. It could be, you know, the monkey fell off her back.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like she's had a bad year anyway. I mean, she's finished in the top 10 quite often, and she had a great Solheim Cup, and sky's the limit now. I mean, the first one's done. As long as she continues to focus on the 14, 15 LPGA events for next year, you know, she could definitely win quite a few, and the fact that it was such a strong field that she played against will certainly help out.
And certainly not bad year for a full-time college student winning $918,000 in, like, you know, when she played half the events of of some of the other players.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. That'll come in nicely for, who knows? She's already got a bazillion dollars from everybody else.
She's played 18 events. Gia Shin played 24, so
yeah,
not quite as much of a stretch as I thought, but nobody played less than her above her. You know, Kari Webb played 19 events. That's the closest you get, so almost $1 million. And she still has the, I think she's playing in the Tour Championship this week, and then they're done. But I think I predicted she would win this year.
I think you did.
She waited till the next to last event to do it, but she gets it done. And the Solheim Cup, it can't be overstated how much I think you would agree that helped her.
Oh, that was huge. Huge. I mean, she had the confidence. They got, you know, her teammates, or, you know, the people she's going to be playing against all the time, you know, they got to see a different side of her. She looks like, from the Solheim Cup on, that she actually enjoyed playing golf.
Right. I would agree. That might be the best thing to say. And it got her parents away from her. And taught her to rely on herself and play by herself.
Yeah, absolutely. So kudos to Michelle for winning. And I tell you what, it really makes 2010 a must watch.
Now she can take a public speaking class at Stanford. So when the interviews come, she doesn't quite sound so, yeah.
Nice.
I'm just saying. That was painful. It was painful.
She'll work on it.
It wasn't as painful. It might have been more painful than the driver that Tiger Woods flung into the gallery on Saturday when he shot, I think, even par. But then he gets it done on Sunday to win Down Under in Australia at Kingston Heath at the J.B. Ware Masters. It was kind of interesting staying up till 3 a.m. to watch golf, but I did several times. And, you know, I got to see Tiger Woods win.
Yeah, you know, nothing out of the ordinary for him winning. But yeah, I think it's interesting. He got asked what his legacy would be in Australia, and he said, "I got a W." I'm not so sure that's the legacy that he has right now.
That's not a legacy.
I think the legacy is the helicopter, Tomahawk, Nike Sasquatch driver that was flying through the air.
Or the $3 million he was paid in appearance fee money.
Yeah, that too.
Maybe that too. Hey, I wrote a thing on the site. Maybe I'll link to it. That talks about Tiger Woods flinging his driver forward, after which it bounced sideways, I believe. It's not like he flung it right into people. But basically, you know, you do that once, fine. You know, it's over the line, but you get one time. And then if you don't realize, oh, crap, I better never do that again, then we're cool. But you know what? You do it a second time, and it's a habit and something you get all the crap in the world for. So I hope never see it again.
Yeah, I second that. I mean, that was pretty ugly. I mean, we see him smack the club into the ground, and we see the emotion and whatnot, but yeah, that's pretty bad. So hopefully it's a one and done deal, and next year we don't see anything. We don't see it ever again.
Yeah. For Alan Olson, this is Eric Barzeski saying thank you for listening to episode 129 of the Golf Talk. Check out the website for links to all the articles that we talked about in this episode. We'll be doing one more show this year, kind of our year in review and our look forward to 2010. And then after that, we'll talk to you next in 2010. So thank you and good night.